We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders on this third Sunday of Advent. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
What are your plans for Christmas? That's a pretty familiar question at this time of the year, isn't it? We're going to talk about that today in our sermon and see what place the Lord Jesus really has in what we're going to do. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, as we observe life in this day, we realize that much of it is lived in a very shallow manner. We seek to appease our appetites. We want to have fun. God, we pray that somewhere in this busy schedule, we may take time to ask ourselves the question, where does Christ really fit in? At this time of the year and throughout the year, what place does that babe of Bethlehem's manger and of Calvary's cross have in our lives? In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Sweet dead.
During the Advent season, we've been talking about some of the great truths that are found in the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Let me read some of these verses to you again. Beginning with verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness for that time on and forever." Here ends the reading of God's eternal word. Friends in Christ, what are your plans for Christmas? That's not an unusual question at this time of the year, is it? You've been making a lot of plans, I imagine. I hope you have, because unless we make plans, I guess Christmas is not all that it should be. Our answer to that question is going to depend upon what place Jesus Christ has in your life. So I'd like to take three possible answers. I imagine that there are more. But for our sake, let's just take three today. There are those who will say, "Christmas, I love it. It's a wonderful time of the year. We're with our families and our friends. We either go there or they come to us. This year they're coming to us. And are we going to have fun? There's going to be a lot of food, and the pastries of the past will become the pastries of the present. We're going to buy gifts, and we're going to watch those children open those gifts, and their eyes will get as large as saucers, and we're going to have Santa Claus and Rudolph and all the rest." Then sometime during the Christmas celebration, We're going to ride around our town and see how the homes have been decorated and all the lights that are there. There are those pre-Christmas parties, and once in a while the post-Christmas party. It's a marvelous time of the year. The other night, my wife and I was watching a television program, and one of the celebrities on that party was showing us what he liked in life and what he did not like. For example, he liked a warm shower. He did not like cold, cold weather. He went on to say, I like Christmas, but I don't like Easter. Now, in our family, we take a vote once in a while, and it's just about unanimous in our vote that if we could have only one of the two, and that's not to belittle anything, I guess we'd take Easter over Christmas. Because without Easter, the Lord Jesus is not living. He's not alive. He's not there to live in my heart. He's not there to grant me the forgiveness of my sins and all these things that I need so badly. And this is not to belittle Christmas either. So when the man said, I love Christmas, but I don't like Easter, the thought goes through my mind, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ, man? And I imagine that he could very well say, we don't do the religious part of it in our home. And then I began to think, again, here's a man who is sitting right there in his home or on a television screen. And he is saying, it's possible for us to immerse our own person so fully in the secular of Christmas that we evade the religious. It is entirely possible for us to really celebrate Christmas according to the way they're thinking and never once think about Jesus and the incarnation and the babe at Bethlehem. And that's hardly possible at Easter. That message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ stands there. And while there might have been some commercializing of Easter, it probably has not gone to the extent that it has at Christmas. So that's one answer. Well, we're going to have a good time, and likely the name of Jesus will not be mentioned. But now here comes a second answer, kind of interesting too. And this probably comes from people who are affiliated with the church. They may be fairly good members of the church. And certainly, as you will see, they will be in church on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Here's what the answer could well be. I love Christmas. You know what I like about it? I love reliving the traditions of our family. We just seem to do the same things over and over again, and we love to do it that way. When anything breaks in, and sort of causes us to have to leave some of these traditions, we don't like it so well. Well, we have the same kind of foods, and we unwrap gifts at a particular time, and we have all of our loved ones and perhaps a few of our friends that are not a part of the family with us. There are all these great traditions. The Christmas cards. I don't know about you, but there have been times when I was so busy, especially when I was in the parish, that I didn't have time to really sit down and read Christmas cards until Christmas Day. And then I would try to take an hour or so, be all by myself, and go through those cards. What a joy to hear from all of these people, many of them that we don't hear of from one year to the next. Yeah, it is a blessed season of the year. But it's more than that too, isn't it? And if you're of this persuasion, yeah, It is because a part of our tradition is that we center our thoughts in God's Word. And that's marvelous. We read the Christmas Gospel. I hope in your home you will make good plans to read the Christmas Gospel. And Dad, I think it's really a time for you to do it. That's a time when you could create an image that would last for a long time in the minds of your children. Why don't you take that Bible and gather them all around you and read the Christmas Gospel and talk about it a little bit. What has the Lord Jesus done for you? It's a time when you sing those old familiar carols. There might not be any soloist in the family, but you enjoy doing it anyway, don't you? And it's a time when you want to go to church and you want that pastor to be right on that day. The message has got to be that a Savior has been born. You don't want anything else than that, but it's got to be right there. I have got a Savior, and it points to that Christ who became the God incarnate. That is, he took upon himself a body, and he lived here for us. I want that. Now, let me ask you, if this is a way that you would answer, what does this message really have for you? You like to read this story, primarily because it might be a tradition. You recall when your father or your grandfather or your mother or your grandmother read it. The same old message, and it's being read again today in our home. But what about that Christ? Does he live in your heart? Is he the one who has said to you today, the greatest gift that you've got is that you are going to live eternally with me in heaven? Is the greatest gift you will ever receive and wanted to receive many times every day the forgiveness of your sins? When you sang those great Christmas carols, did they really ring something in your heart? When you read, for example, Away in a Manger, did that mean anything? Where you sang, Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask you to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in your tender care and fit us for heaven to live with you there. Do you know for sure that if you die, and this is the last Christmas that you're going to have, that you would spend eternity with God in heaven? See, this is what we're after today. The message that we really say, yes, I know that he has granted me all of these things. Or would you perhaps have to say, and I know many people do, they have to say this, well, I'm not quite sure. You know, there's nothing that I would like to believe more than the very fact that Jesus did come and that he is the Savior of the world and that there is a life after death. But I'm not sure. And if there is a life after death, then I'm not quite sure that I'm going to be there. And if you were asked the question, well, how come? How come you don't know? The Christmas Gospel makes it very clear that there has been born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Don't you believe that? Well, I'm not so sure. I'm not sure that I have done enough, that I've lived a good enough life. Oh, friend, I know that there will be a good Christmas in your home. But if you don't have the assurance of your salvation, there's going to be an empty spot. So I pray that you will listen to the person who not only reads the gospel, but has met the Christ and has received him into his or her heart. This is the individual who say, oh, I love Christmas. It's a marvelous time of the year. Yeah, we're going to have a great Christmas. We're going to have our family, and we're going to have parties, and we're going to have food, and we're going to unwrap gifts, and we're going to have lights and decorations around our house and all the rest that goes with it. But Christmas for us is far more than that. It is the blessings that he brings with us. And so we go back to what Isaiah said, and which is specifically our text for today. He is not only the mighty counselor, we talked about that 2 weeks ago. He is not only the wonderful counselor, mighty God. This babe who is in Bethlehem's manger is God, but he is the everlasting Father. And that's our thought today. There is something about this Christmas gospel when Jesus Christ lives in your heart that lifts you above the mundane things of this world and assures you that there is something after this life is over. He is the everlasting Father. He is a child who grew up and pointed us to heaven. He's the one who says, now he's not a babe in Bethlehem's manger. Now he's 33 years old, and he's saying to us, as he said to the people in those days, I have gone to prepare a place for you. And if I've gone and prepared a place for you, I'll come again, and I'll receive you to myself. That's a part of the Christmas celebration. For we look beyond the manger and see what he did become. That's our Savior. And then Christmas suddenly becomes more than just celebrating, eating, and gifts, and parties, and all the rest. I begin to realize that this babe is God. He came from eternity. Our minds cannot begin to understand it. We talked about it last week. He came from eternity. He was clothed in the form of a man. Still being true man and true God, he walked on this earth. He knew what it was to be tempted. That Satan was after him and wanted to destroy his relationship with the Father. He knew what it was to suffer. Many of you, I'm sure, to whom I speak, are suffering today. Some of you are suffering physically, and there isn't a great prognosis for the future. Some of you are suffering because of mental anguish. Disappointment, discouragement. Is life over? He is the one who understands. He has gone through all of this. He is a Savior. He is the one tempted and suffering, died on the cross, and was raised to pay the price for our sins, that we might be restored into fellowship with God. And so that we can be called his children. And he is our everlasting Father. He is the one to whom we are able to turn. He is the one we can bring our cares to. And I want to say to you in these days before Christmas, if you're sitting at home as one of the shut-ins or if you're in one of the nursing homes, just remember, he comes to you in the Word and says, I haven't forgotten you. Pour out your hearts, open them up, and let me come in, and we'll have Christmas together. He's the one who watches over us. And if you're one of those who are not sure about your salvation and where you're going when this life is over, then he wants to say to you again, look, all you have to do is trust me. Let me in to your life. I think that Martin Luther has put it so well in that hymn that we sang last week on our program, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come to Bring Good News to Everyone. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to all the world and gladly sing. And then he gets down to one of the last verses, and this is what he says, "Oh, dearest Jesus, holy child, prepare a bed soft and undefiled, a holy shrine within my heart that you and I need never depart." Oh, friend, that's Christmas, when we are gathered around one another with the everlasting Father in our midst. Amen. Lord Jesus, we do return thanks to you that you were willing to come. And God, we thank you for giving us your Son. Help us to understand that the blessings that he brings are the most important gifts that we have. The forgiveness of our sins, and the promise that we have an everlasting Father who will live with us forever in heaven above. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's gospel message has brought you comfort and peace for the week ahead during this busy Advent season. May our hearts continue to be touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by our faithful listening family. We thank the many of you who send us an annual gift this time of year. We thank our listeners for your generous support. For your convenience, you are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 41 years.